Welcome back to Cardinals on My Time, presented by Interstate 70 Sports Media. I am Scott Plaza, and this episode today brings you, the fan, reader, and supporter, to the forefront. I'd previously run a short question and answer on the Interstate 70 website, so I decided to do it again, but the questions I got submitted to me on social media warranted way more than just an article. Because of that, today's episode will bring in a handful of questions with a wide range of topics, including roster decisions, trades, and future outlooks for the Cardinals organization, especially as we get ready for Chaim Bloom to take over. To help answer these questions, I have two amazing guests. The first is Nate Schwartz from Pitcher List, and the other guest joining him tonight is Tyler Zumwalt from Redbirds on the Arch. They'll be joining me today to do a deep dive into these questions. Good to see you. Thanks for coming. Welcome in to Cardinals on My Time.
I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
All right, and with that, let me welcome in Nate and Tyler onto the pod. I am super, super pumped to have both of you on. As you know, we kind of came across this as I was asking for questions on social media, which is always a risk to try to communicate with Cardinal Twitter, especially at this point in the season. But before we get too far into the questions that came on, I think we'll see one of you in here very shortly about those submissions. I want you to get the chance to introduce yourselves. So, Nate, I want to start with you. The first time like I learned of your work, I was listening to an episode of Dealing the Cards with Josh and crew, and I was just super, super impressed with the stuff that you were talking about. I believe it was like the Jordan Walker breakout and the Lars Nootbaar change in plate approach kind of stuff that you were talking about then. And I thought you explained things really well. So I want you to go on and share your stuff, and I appreciate you joining, and where can we find you and all that fun stuff for Mr. Nate.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate those kind words. So yeah, I contribute over at Pitcher List. I'm on a, like, it's called the Going Deep team. So I do a lot of, you know, larger data breakdowns, player breakdowns, stuff of that nature. Grew up in my entire life. I've been a Cardinal fan, and my kind of written baseball stuff has always been more league-wide focused, as I just am focused on kind of all things happening in baseball. But as I've grown into the Twitter spaces, I've written more and more. That's conveniently intertwined myself with all of the wonderful people and contributors on Cardinals Twitter, which has been really phenomenal. So I always will take a chance to talk Cardinal baseball and talk about all of the exciting, or for some cases, not exciting things going on in the organization.
Yeah, and I appreciate all the stuff that you do share, and definitely the research and everything you do, and how you take an actual approach at this stuff. So I'm excited to hear what you got to talk about as we get down to this. And joining Nate, we got Mr. Tyler Zumwalt. That is the other, maybe better looking and funnier half of Redbirds on the Arch of the Tylers. We missed each other on the live stream when it was the trade deadline special, but we had some conversations after I took you down very handedly in trivia that day. So if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll get going.
Yeah, so I was pretty upset you beat me in that trivia. The other two hosted that most of the day, and then they told me that you beat me by like one, and we were first and second, and I was so upset I messaged him after, and made sure to let him know I was upset next year I was going to beat him. But yeah, thanks for having me on. As you know, I'm a host of Redbirds on the Arch, so we'll have to have you on sometime soon.
Oh, absolutely. I always like talking. And Aiden, we hear you. We'll get to you. We'll make sure that you're part of this eventually, but I had to make sure that we got the Tylers on here first. So once again, thank you guys both for agreeing to come on and dive into this Cardinal season for what is kind of what we expected most of the season to be for probably this last month. Before they start tonight in the series finale against the Mariners, Cardinals are 4.5 games out of the wild card, 2 games under 500, whereas probably where coming into the season, most of us expected them to be hovering around that 500 point, especially as they stood pat in the offseason. So even while they're kind of hovering around there, I think it's pretty clear that it's going to be the third straight season missing the playoffs. So with that, I think it's fair we can start turning our attention to the future. Especially as Chaim Bloom is going to be, or maybe has been, getting his hands involved a little bit more with the operations role, and he hasn't really had said much. So it comes with a lot of questions about what we're going to see with him, especially because we've only seen him really in Boston and Tampa Bay and kind of rebuild and retooling eras. So we're going to kind of look at the immediate future, but kind of see what else we think he can do as he built a really good prospect pool with Boston for sure. So with that, let's go ahead and get to the questions that were sent to me on Cardinal Twitter, which again, appreciate all the submissions here. The first question comes from a very noteworthy, popular, and credible account that provides incredible information. You may have heard with him before. He is one of our guests, Nate Schwartz. So Nate was one of the first responses coming in, and he asked, "Who is my favorite off the radar starting pitcher candidate or just pitcher candidate?" So Nate, since it was your question, I felt like you had something you wanted to share, so I want to start with you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just kind of, throwing an alley-oop to myself here. But I think my go-to one, like a lot of people, has been Kyle Leahy. I don't know if there's a, more clear kind of guy who can make the jump to starter in the organization that we aren't, really expecting. I've been really impressed. His velocity has really kind of slowly increased throughout the season. I know it sits around 95, 96, which, if he's making a jump to the larger workload, he might be able to hold closer to 93 than he was earlier in the year, which would be really important with his stuff. And he already has a previous workload at a professional level in the, as a starter in the minor leagues. I think it was in 2022, he was over 130 or 140 innings, which is really important when you're trying to get a young pitcher into kind of the longer workload. In terms of the stuff, after kind of the early season struggles, he added the sinker, which has really helped him mitigate damage in the zone because his four seam is, it's an interesting pitch. The velocity has been nice. He gets a lot of extension on his release, which makes it play up, but it can still run into problems. And then against righties, he's got this really nice sliding sweeper approach that just helps him. He throws these pitches in the zone a lot. He can dominate hitters in the zone, knowing they're going to get some sort of pitch to hit, but they can't because everything is close. It's changing speeds and whatever. But my question for him, if he makes that leap, is how does he deal with lefties? We've seen it throughout the year, even when he's been pitching well, that he struggles a lot with getting them out. His arsenal really isn't suited for it. He has this changeup that he throws 27% of the time to lefties. But it doesn't really get the results you expect for a pitch that's used that much. It doesn't really get the whiffs. It ends up more as a called strike pitch, which you really wouldn't be the goal. So I think the thing I'd like to see from him, which you can't really, will this into existence or need it as a necessity, would be to see him add a cutter. He throws a slider super hard at 90 miles an hour, and his fastball has a more cut right action to it. It gets, less kind of run like you'd imagine a four seam or a two seam fastball moving away from the arm side. That makes it sometimes harder for opposite handed hitters to hit. So it seems like there's a great spot kind of in the middle there to add a cutter that he can throw inside the lefties to get weak contact. It's tough to really will a new pitch into existence, but everything else kind of screams that he could be the next guy to take a step up and take a leap at the rotation next frame.
Yeah, and you took that was my first one too. So I guess not maybe as under the radar as we were expecting, but I have Leahy on here as well, especially in the same ways that you were talking about. Because it seemed like he kind of entered that starting conversation in spring training with like 2 weeks left out of nowhere after really not hearing about it. But I think it has kind of been true that they're gonna run him out and give him an opportunity. Like, and we're seeing the extended innings here at the end of the season. And he's got that starter's repertoire. He's got that opportunity to add the cutter, like you're talking about. But next year, if that's the option, he'd probably end up having kind of that Libertor-esque season as far as the workload kind of goes and what we may be expecting after being in the bullpen and that. So, Tyler, before I get rambling on, go ahead and jump in with one of your or multiple of your starting pitcher candidates.
Well, I was looking more at free agents because I thought that's kind of what the question was targeted at. But I mean, our podcast has talked about Kyle Leahy and how we would really like him, especially farmhands. He really likes him, but I mean, looking at the free agents, there's not a lot that I like, but there's some guys I would take a shot on. Like, one, people won't like to hear this name because it's a little later than they would like, but maybe Max Scherzer is a guy you could add for later on, for back into the bullpen. Walker Buehler, I'd like to take a shot on, which I just saw an article about him like 2 days ago, and it upset me because I was like, dang it, that was my guy.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's probably about it, really, on
Yeah.
the starting pitching, unless you're going to spend bigger, like Cease or Gallen or Valdez, which I really like Valdez. But if you call him, if you sign him and you have Libby and maybe Quinn Matthews, that's like three lefties in your rotation, which seems like a lot.
That
So I don't
was
know if I'd.
kind of the other point I was going to mention. There are so many lefties coming up in the Cardinal system that I do not think people are ready for the amount of left-handed pitching they're about to see, which I'm excited about, but I think it'll be a breath of fresh air for better or worse.
Well, especially
Yeah.
because we've seen a bullpen full of Jojo Romero and John King, that they've made it seem like there are no other lefties. That's going to be a good change of pace.
And they've been trying to change Zach Thompson into a starter.
Oh, yeah, forgot about
Everybody forgot about him.
that.
I mean, maybe they trade a lefty starter this off season or next off season or next trade deadline or something, but
Yeah,
I
it's
don't
going to
know.
be interesting to see with their pitching injuries and kind of stuff what they're going to put out of their prospects. But I'll do my answer kind of quick and then we'll jump on to the next one. Tyler, like you, I also looked into the free agent market and I was trying to find somebody that threw faster than 92 miles an hour with run. And that was actually tougher than I anticipated. I just want somebody to throw a fastball hard out of the starting rotation. And I couldn't really find much that I was looking for. So what I kind of settled on for my off the radar one is Tetsuya Ime, who's possibly going to be posted. He's going to be 28 for most of the next year. As a fastball, it sits 95, can rip it up into the upper 90s. And then from what I've been seeing, he's got a slider, cutter, curveball, changeup, working on, a sinker as well. Seven pitch mix, and that's something that the Cardinals haven't seen as far as, an exciting prospect from overseas, international prospect, who can throw hard with command that Ime has shown. So that would be my off the radar guy. Nate, you got anything else you want to jump on
Yeah,
as far as?
I'll throw three other names all from inside the Cardinals organization. Because we mentioned left-handed pitching earlier, but there are three guys, Bryson Motts, Pete Hansen, and Ichan Henderson, all of which have pitched great this year, all left-handed. We've seen across baseball this year kind of be the year of the left-handed pitcher. It's basically guys without much stuff. They've got a fastball that's, doesn't break stuff models or anything, but they have a really good changeup to play off it, and they make hitters go the opposite way, and just no one is doing anything against them. And Motts and Hansen are both Rule 5 eligible this winter, so the Cardinals will have to make a decision. And well, from what I understand, Motts and Henderson don't really have great changeups. That's something, maybe they take a step forward on, and all of a sudden you're trying to give them big league starts just to kind of see what you got. They're not the high upside guys. And then Hansen, well, he is the antithesis of Cardinals fans' hopes and dreams because they think he barely cracks 90 miles an hour on a good day. He's got a really good fastball changeup combo that could be enough to get them over the line and get more starts. I think me and a lot of Cardinals fans generally just want to see more pitchers start games for the team. It's been very straightforward, not really any, learning anything new on that front. So just giving guys some more chances, especially if they have to get into the 40 man to see if any of these guys can make the adjustments to deal with big league hitters, especially in a transition year.
Yeah, it's been a bummer. There's actually been pitching health on the major league level. That's kind of the irony of the whole situation. But I just talked about Mouts and Henderson as well in a piece on Redbird Rants. Go check that thing out as I make that plug. So We'll go on with moving from those starting pitcher candidates to question two. Question two. This is from former guest of Cardinals on My Time, DeWallet Inspector. Go make sure you check out that episode. Had a lot of fun with him. He asked, which player on the current roster has the highest intersectionality of fan favorite and likely to be traded? And then had to add on, and why is that player Newt? Thanks for the question, DeWallet. Tyler, do you want to take this one first?
So the question is, who is the most liked and most likely to be traded, like combined?
That's where I took it at. I'm the likely to be traded in fan favorite
Huh.
scale. It was going up.
Man, I mean, that's kind of the logical answer, but I don't know if he's going to be traded, to be honest. I could almost see Gorman getting traded before him. But just because they have like JJ, you know?
Right. And then we get back to the
JJ is like an
lefty.
easy one for one replacement of Gorman. I mean, maybe I'm wrong there, but they could trade a guy like Burley, but he's not really that liked for some reason, even though he's very good. He's very liked by me, but I don't know why. It seems like most Cardinal fans don't like him, and I think it's because he's not flashy.
Yeah.
He's kind of like boring, you know, and you know he's not like the most athletic guy. So I think that's why Cardinal fans don't like him. But maybe they
Well,
trade him just because he's kind of in a log jam situation.
sure.
So I could see that being a guy they trade and say, hey, like we really like him, but he's helping us get a starting pitcher that can pitch, be our number two starter or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and that's well, Marmol also spoke really highly of him and said like he's part of this team, and he's been seeing that since he's been returned from the IL too, that he's the one that's got the starting spot that the other four lefty outfielders are fighting for. Nate, do you think it's Newt, or do you think somebody else is part of that intersectionality of trade?
I'm gonna agree with Tyler here. I think we saw a lot of the fan base kind of turn on Newt this year, as he didn't take the step forward. I think a lot of people thought he'd take with a longer run of health, and a lot of people maybe accepted him for who he is. And I think Burley has. I can't say that I've seen the kind of dislike towards him, and I think he's as he's kept it in the float. I think people have he turned more into a fan favorite. But I think kind of a corner outfielder, first baseman archetype that's performing largely at peak ability right now, I think gets you more. It clears out a log jam. It's a loss of a bat, yes. But if you're trusting the new team coming in and Ivan Herrera playing longer next year and some of these other guys taking a step forward, that's a really important log jam to clean out. And I agree with Tyler too, that like that's a name that probably gets you a right-handed pitcher of some caliber that maybe it's not super top of the line, but a mid-rotation starter that isn't, 36 on a 1-year deal. So I think that one would make more sense. I think a lot of people will look at Newt's Savant page or whatever and say, oh, there's so many good things here, but he hasn't produced with that for a couple of years now. And I think teams would be buying that on the low, whereas I think if you're in the Cardinals position, as you're maybe, I don't think there's going to be moves to be made to compete in 2026. I think moving Burleson would be probably, I think, my best guess at how they could get kind of a kick start on getting established pitching in return without, making a huge free agent splash.
That's very interesting. I actually thought that we were going to hear, yeah, it's going to be Newt, it's going to be Newt. And you both actually went Burley, who I didn't actually even consider when I was looking at this question. He's not flashy. He does the things that you need him to do as a hitter. He's made a good change in his approach this year, which I think has been fun. And you've heard Brant Brown kind of like say that they've had adult conversations, that he's obviously committed to it and that kind of stuff. That I like that. But back to the question of why is it Newt? I actually said the same thing. Like, I don't think it is Newt at this point. Ollie again said he was hurt and too much to fully evaluate him again, which I think we're starting to see that that's the player that we're going. But I'm actually going to tie my answer into the next question because I think it's going to be a fan favorite, likely be traded. That's also going to go into question from Cartman Head, who said, with the impending arrival of JJ Weatherholt, where do you see him playing? And if a trade is needed to afford him that space, who do you believe gets traded? So I took that into two and number three, and I listed Brendan Donovan as my answer. And I don't think he needs to be traded. I don't want him to be traded, but at the same time, I think the Cardinals should be aggressive with offering him, at least listening to trade talks, while making it clear that they don't necessarily have to move him. But I kind of, Nate, what you said as far as Burleson is performing at peak value, I think that Donovan could also be doing that at what we kind of know what we're going to get from him. I know he started off this year phenomenally. He was the Cardinals All-Star. But I think at that point, you can also try to take something from his value, turn that into a pitcher as well, which would then clear up potential spot for Weatherholt to slide in to second base. Is to go to my answer for Cartman Head. I think he'll slide in as a second baseman off the bat, and if it comes up with who I think would be traded as far as fan favorite, likely be traded and create space, I'm going with Brendan Donovan. So Tyler, what about you? What do you have for how do we get Weatherholt on this team?
Well, I didn't like that answer because I think Donovan's a guy you can always find a spot for, whether it's DH or left field or right field or second base or third base. Well, so they do need to find a spot for JJ this all season, and one is going to be the toughest task, and that's moving Arenado. It's going to have to start with that. And I don't know how many teams out there want him anymore. I mean, his contract goes down, so I don't think his contract's as big of a deal, but it seems like all the teams that he wanted to go to kind of filled that spot. Like the Yankees just traded for the third baseman from the Rockies, McMahon. So, I mean, I think he's got another year left, so they're kind of fulfilled there. You got the Dodgers who are filled there. I mean, unless they, I think it's a team option actually on Max Muncy this off season. So if that's declined, then maybe there's a spot there. But I just don't know who else would want him. The Astros are full there. The Red Sox, I'm guessing Bregman's gonna re-sign. It sounds like, and I'm guessing, even my own opinion, I think Bregman opts out, but I think he re-signs. So, I mean, the Red Sox won't want him. So, really, all you got is the Dodgers, and that's if they decline Max Muncy, which I don't even know if they'll do that, maybe. But so you got to move him, and then it kind of just moving some pieces around. I mean, most likely, I would like to see the team go out and get a starting pitcher, and you're most likely going to have to trade a player that you don't want to trade. Maybe that's Donovan. I wouldn't like it to be. Maybe it's Burley. I mean, I really like Burley, so that one will hurt too. I mean, I'm a Blues fan, and they just traded away Bolduc, and that one hurt me. And that's what the Cardinals are gonna have to do this offseason. And I'm ready to be hurt. Just make it a good hurt. Like, go get me a good starting pitcher that also makes me happy at the same time. So trade Arenado, trade another player. That would probably open up a spot for JJ. And I'd like to see him play third base, to be honest. He's been playing some third base in Memphis, so I mean, it's not unlikely that he goes there. And he's been playing, I know, mostly short. Everybody projects him to be a second baseman, but I really like Donnie there at second.
That's fair. All right. Nate, what do you think? How
Yeah,
are we going to
I
trade this?
agree. I was also appalled to hear trading Donovan. Mostly, I mean, I could see him easily being a Cardinal for life kind of guy, and he plays enough positions where you can get him everyday plate appearances, and he doesn't play the same position twice in a week, which I think is really valuable to a team with seemingly a lot of log jams everywhere. And as alluded to before, I think this comes with either a trade of someone else or Arenado taking over the role. Because as we see, he hasn't been healthy and he hasn't really performed. And I don't think we've really seen what healthy Arenado looks like for a long time. And I know he has a very strict no trade clause, but I think the Cardinals can probably be, you know, pretty straightforward with him and say, hey, we need to get this prospect in the lineup. We're not going to be competing this year. If you want to stick around for that and get less playing time, great. Otherwise, like, you might want to consider opening up your acceptable trade teams list for the future. Just as a way, like, you can't let the end of this contract really hamper down the development of a guy who might be too good to stick around in the minors or needs to get everyday plate appearances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to be clear. I'm not vouching for trading Donovan. I'm not banging the trade Donovan train. I think for what he is and what he can get, it's now is the time to cash in on that. So I want to be clear with that.
Can I say something on Arenado?
Yeah.
Too? So, I mean, his bat has been down, but I will say I am impressed by his defense this year. I was the hardest one on his defense the past 2 years. Everybody was saying the numbers look good, but if you're watching the games and I'm more of a feel for the game, I mean, I look into the numbers too, but I feel like I have a better feel for the game than most people. And just watching him, he looked so unathletic. And it just looked terrible. And like, your defense at first is so underrated. I think Goldie saved him from so many errors. And thank God, I mean, Contreras has been good this year, but thank God Arenado fixed some stuff, because he has actually looked really good there. So I will say that, like, he's back to maybe not winning the Gold Glove, but maybe being a finalist for it.
Yeah, I think he had dead arm last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah. And
seemingly,
so I
like
still
every,
think he's valuable.
Yeah, like every Cardinal played through injury, no questions asked.
And he's still, I mean, his contract gets pretty cheap.
He's on the hook for $27 million next year and $15 million the year after that.
Yeah,
so I don't
like that.
I don't think the Cardinals will eat any 26 money, just because that's not how they operate. But I could see that potentially, if they could work something out for the smaller $27.
And there's one team I've been targeting that I think would be, I think Gorman or Arenado or even both would be really good on this team, and that's the Seattle Mariners. I know, like, that park isn't really a hitter's park, but I don't know. I just feel like a young combo of Gorman and J-Rod would be really good there. Or if you have Arenado there, it adds a veteran. The pitching is really good, so, like, you don't have to score as much. And, I mean, he's so good defensively still. Like, that could make the pitching even better. And right now they have Suarez, who they traded for at the deadline, but he'll be a free agent. So if he's willing to go to Seattle, I mean, that might be a good fit for him.
Yeah, I always find myself rooting for the Mariners. They're just a fun team, and they just haven't put it all together yet. But that way, if they go there, I could still cheer for them.
Except for tonight, obviously. Come on,
guys. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, by the time this is published, the Cardinals will have had an 8-2 victory.
Oh, yes, exactly. Jordan Walker for a Homer game. I'm calling it again.
We can always cut that part when far from the truth. So we talked a little bit about the free agent there at the end, because Tyler, you jumped into something that I was potentially going to talk about, but we're going to go to the next question from another former guest of the show, Kyle Eden. Not that the Cardinals will play in the free agent position market at all, but I saw something this weekend about this year's free agents being the best group overall for the next few years. Is there anyone you'd like to see them get, or more realistically, is there anyone you think they will get? So I'll kind of jump on this one first, because Tyler, you just mentioned Eugenio Suarez being a free agent, and that was a name that I had thrown around a little bit in the past couple weeks, because the Cardinals are, who would have 157 home runs this year, which is good for 29th in baseball. It would be great to have, like, I want a pitcher that can just throw 100 miles an hour. I would love somebody to just hit 40 homers. And the Cardinals have not had like an actual DH that has been able to fill that power role. It's kind of been that kind of cycling through people. So my first answer was Eugenio Suarez, but then I went to the more realistically side and I figured it's time for a couple more Cardinals reunions for Paul DeYoung and Lane Thomas. So those were my realistic options for who we're going to end up seeing back in St. Louis. And then I got a couple more I'll jump in at the end. So Nate, let's start with you first. Who position-wise do you either see them targeting or want them to target?
So I don't think I have a hard time see them getting a kind of cheap return guy to start in either the infield or the outfield just because they have so many options. I don't think they'll want to make that choice on free agents other than maybe through trade. So that will lead me to the one and only Kyle Tucker. I will die on this hill. He's an elite bat. He's a quiet guy who kind of fits the Cardinals fans' idea of a star of just he comes in every day, he does his work, he posts incredible numbers. Obviously, not very realistic. However, after the Cardinals have seen the attendance plummet drastically and a lot of apathy towards the on-field product, if you brought in a star like this, this is the way to keep the fans afloat. Yeah, maybe they're not going to compete as you wait till the pitching prospects come up in 27 or 28. But you show that you're willing to get a top-of-the-market guy, you're willing to punch above your level as a small market team and get people in the ballpark to mesh with this guy who's going to wear a Cardinal jersey for the next, 7 or 8 years of his career. I think that would be a really great option to seek out. I realize that is very, highly unlikely with how they operate. And I don't think a new guy whose first task is GM of the Red Sox to trade Mookie Betts will be able to dish out a nine-figure contract. But at least what's what I do in all of my out-of-the-park baseball sims. It really makes a lot of sense for them to finally go in on a big bat. Other than that, I don't think they would get a Framber as Zach Gallen, who I think will probably get too many years or too much for the year to make sense to the Cardinals, just with how the pitching pipeline is kind of shaped up to be. So I think it's going to be more kind of one-year deals, hopefully more. I think it'd be cool to have Scherzer, but I think it'd be more kind of prove-it deals, like a Dustin May. Like, can he figure something out? Can he get something to click, improve his performance, whether that ends in a trade or a deal kind of next year? I think those guys would be the ones you want to fill your rotation with, but I don't really see them trying to replace any of the position players without going kind of into the upper end of the market.
Yeah, and that upper end of the market would have to come with clearing out space, like we just talked about as well. Like they need to find somewhere for a nine-figure deal to play. Tyler, what about you? What do you want to see? What do you think is going to happen?
To be honest, like you talked about the DH spot, but I mean, I think Herrera is still going to be that. Everybody wants him to be catcher, but I don't think the Cardinals see him as a catcher. I think in realistically, I think he's your next first baseman after Contreras, which is another log jam, which is fine. I really like Contreras on the team. I like his personality. I like having that like fire, of a guy, the guy that's willing to stick up for your team and fight and this and that. I like having that, and he's a good player. He's playing good defense at first, so I ain't trying to rush him out. But I think Herrera is your next first base, which if you go back to when Contreras was signed, I tweeted that Contreras was going to be the next first baseman after Goldie. So maybe I'm right on this one too. But anyways, so yeah, I don't see the DH spot. Your infield's kind of loaded. I mean, you're trying to clear a log jam by trading Arenado, and I mean, you still have a log jam. Like most likely, you got Gorman or Sejacy still out. So I mean, maybe one goes on the bench. Maybe you trade one of those guys too. I think you could look into a backup infield spot, and I have thought about a reunion with Paul DeYoung. And no one's gonna like hearing that, but as long as he's playing a Brandon Crawford type role where he plays once a month, like who cares?
How about Garrett Hanson? Or Ryan DeLay, or the reincarnation of Michael Hellman in
No thanks on
Michael
those.
Hellman's been tearing it up the last couple of days.
I know another outfielder we gave up on too soon. Just add him to the list.
So I mean, then you go to the outfield and you got Kyle Tucker, which I would love, but it sounds like he's going to get a contract that's way out of our range, so that's probably a no-go. I mean, if he can get a Bryce Harper type deal, maybe we can finally be in on something big. That still seems a little too big for us, but Kyle Schwarber's probably too big and sounds like he wants to stay in Philly from what I'm hearing.
Why
So,
not?
I mean, there's also another option that would be another reunion for me that I was thinking about. And you said one, you said two Cardinal reunions and Paul DeYoung and an outfielder. Now I'm going two Cardinal reunions and Paul DeYoung and an outfielder, but mine is Harrison Bader. I actually wanted him last offseason, and I think if we would have had him this season, that would have been a good combo with Victor Scott. Like, you don't need Bader every day, and maybe that could have helped, like, Scott, I don't know, take some off his shoulders, and Bader could hit against lefties, Scott hit against righties. Scott gets a mentor that's won a gold glove in center field, that's won over Cardinal hearts, you know, here. I really liked Bader in his time here. That was a trade that, like, I think this offseason we're gonna see one that hurts. That was one that hurt me. I understood it and I knew it made sense and it worked out, but it hurt, you know, at the same time. So I'd be okay if they re-signed him again.
Okay, I thought you were going to go either Randall Grichuk or Tyler O'Neill to really bring that in
Is Tyler
together.
O'Neill? Tyler O'Neill ain't opting out of that contract.
Oh gosh, no. No,
Man,
he needs
he's
the
not going to be a
insurance
free
for those
agent.
hamstrings. No. Well, you're talking about Victor Scott here, so I'm going to do my last two and then keep this thing moving. I took a lot of heat around the trade deadline when I said I was kind of over Victor Scott. I don't have a lot of faith in the offense, so I talked about having Luis Robert as an option. And I'm going to keep beating that drum. His post trade deadline numbers were amazing. Yes, he's hurt again, but he's got 30-30 potential. Nate, you're talking about, you know, getting something to be excited about. We haven't seen a 30-30 since Tyler O'Neill. To bring that around again. But I think he can take that center field spot. They need a right-handed power bat. And I think Luis Robert could be the center fielder. Victor Scott, I don't think he's gonna be a faster Michael Ciani, maybe with a little bit more power. And I hope to be wrong on that because I was super excited with how he started this year. But I just think that let's go to Luis Robert. He's got I think a $16 or $20 million team option that I would think the White Sox are planning to pick up, but maybe this injury changes those ideas. But he's a guy that I would like to see in Cardinal Red.
I would say they still pick him up because I think some teams would trade for him.
Yeah,
Which maybe
otherwise I
that's a
think he
guy
would
we
have.
can trade for, you know?
Yeah, there you can take Brendan Donovan for Luis Robert. That'll go real well in
Oh,
Cardinal
God. Do not. Don't even say that.
land. Well,
Don't say that with me on here.
my bad, my bad. Well, speaking of trades that hurt, wow, another transition. I was on him last week, so I'd like to see that I'm still going on with this. This was from Mark Graham on Twitter. Concerning Ryan Helsley, do you think his issues may stem from being in New York? There have been players in the past who've had problems playing in New York and LA. So yeah, another trade that, like Tyler said, it's one that they had to do. It sucked, but we understood it. And it's actually seeming like with what's been going on over there that they might be playing to be okay with that return. And then I'm kind of gonna go on with Mark and add on a question to you guys as well. I think that there very well could be an issue with playing in New York, and you know that could be something because I was very surprised to hear that he would be open to re-signing with St. Louis while this was still going on. So maybe he does appreciate the under the radar, or as Chris Bryant would say, boring area of St. Louis. So I think that it very well could be that city of New York, the bright lights and things like that. But I'm gonna spin the question to: would you guys want him back next year? Tyler, go ahead.
Oh, Yeah, I'd be fine with them. So my main targets this free agency is probably our bullpen, which our bullpen's been really good actually since the trade deadline. I think we're ranked second in the ERA, is what I just saw today on
Yeah,
Twitter.
that
So
was concerning.
yeah, I mean we're good. I would like to add another piece though. I mean, bullpens, if you have a good bullpen, that's gonna win you a lot of games. I don't know how our starting pitching is going to be, especially we got a lot of young guys going in, like Leahy maybe switching over, and I don't know what else is going to happen. Like maybe Sonny Gray's traded is some rumors I've been seeing lately. I kind of hope he's not. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, he's 0-35 and everybody's saying trade him to save money and spend it elsewhere. But if you trade him, you're probably eating 10 or 15. Then you're spending 15 on another guy. Like, so you're already at 25. I mean, is it worth saving 10 million for a worse pitcher? That doesn't make sense to me. So I really like the relief pitcher market. There's a lot of pitchers like Helsley. I would take a shot on Devin Williams, who's from St. Louis. I would just like a guy that has closing history, just in case, you know, like make them all test it out. And your question about Helsley being bad this year, I think, like, I've seen it on Twitter where people have posted that he's not good in non-save situations, and that's all he's pitching in New York. So I feel like that's part of the problem, too. And I mean, a lot of pitchers do go to New York to die. I mean, Sonny Gray went to New York and was terrible there, too. I mean, it was a different stadium, but still in New York.
Right.
And those New York crowds can be pretty rough.
Yeah, for sure. Nate, what do you think? Would you think that bright lights are too much for him, and would you want him back?
So, first part of the question, no, I think he's fine. There's a public acknowledgement, and I know it was circulating on Twitter that he was tipping his pitches that had happened before while he was in St. Louis. And mix that with his highest fastball usage since, I think, 2023. So hitters knew what was coming, and it was mostly fastballs, which is just perfect recipe for disaster. And I think you see that with how many home runs he gave up in the short time frame, which was pretty uncharacteristic. And the other thing that Tyler said was like he's been great in save situations and struggled in non-save situations, and maybe it's a mentality thing, but it's the way he gets himself up to go for a save situation is different. And if you can't break that, it's tough now and you'll try to fight through it. But at the end of the day, he's going to get a free agent contract that has him closing games. And while the Cardinals, I would love to see him back in a Cardinal uniform, I find it hard to see that actually happening just because he's going to probably command a probably $15 to $20 million salary over multiple years, and we've seen the Cardinals be very successful in building bullpens out of cheaper options. And it's not, if you're investing free agent dollars, I think they can be used elsewhere. And like look at the Phil Maton signing. $2 million worked out great. They got a return for him as a very useful piece to another team. That I think if you're going to be giving out a multi-year deal that teams think that as a closer that can fix the tipping, he'll be fine. I don't think it's realistic unless we're getting some sort of spending spree in St. Louis.
Yeah, the spending spree, that's probably words we're not going to hear for quite a bit here. Especially as Heim's taken over to, again, we haven't seen him in an aggressive role in a front office to be able to really be allowed to go for it. And I don't think that's what we're going to see him in here for the near future either. So with that takes us to the end of like our Cardinals like deadline roster stuff. So I got a couple other fun questions. Next one's coming from guest of the show and friend of Tyler Zumwalt, Redbird Farmhands, the not as good half of Redbirds on the Yards. His question, one player, past or present, you'd like to interview on the podcast, and I said, or you want to have dinner with, and I've already had my dream by having Tyler Z on the podcast today, so I got that. No, who better than Tyler and Nate tonight? But I'll jump into this one first because I don't think it's very fun, and I'm hoping that you guys have some more fun ones. But I cheated and did two players because every time I do an episode, I have two people on. So my show, my rules. So my two, again, not super fun, are Adam Wainwright and Mark Burley. I know Wainwright's in the public space right now doing, all his games and everything, but those two specifically are who I modeled my pitching off of. And I just love the way that they attack the game. And I would just love, I just remember Burley's claim to fame was throwing complete game shutouts in less than 2 hours. And that's kind of like a goal I always set for myself. So having those two on just to kind of chat and talk and just, but and also just be like, hey, you guys inspired me to kind of do the things that I did on the mound. I think it would be a lot of fun. So moving forward, Nate, what about you? Anybody that you'd love to interview or just have time to spend with?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many. I could go on and on. I think the number one would be for me, Bob Gibson. Just hearing some of the stories. I read a book. I think it was called 60 Feet 6 Inches. It was like a long form interview of him and Reggie Jackson going through their mentality, just how they went about the game. It was just so fascinating to see, and to see a guy with that just kind of insane locked in mindset when he pitched. It's just, it's like what you dream of being able to be capable of. Like I grew up pitching and, was very much, I like to believe I still have a pitching brain more than anything. That I would love to pick his brain and hear about some of the stories with some of the players that, I obviously have no recollection of ever, watching or hearing about in real time and have only read, read accounts of what happened. I'd also, generally like to say Pujols, just because he has such a grasp on hitting, and he was my favorite player growing up. To hear, what he was going through on the chase to 700 and all of that stuff just would be very, very neat.
Yeah, those are two fun ones. Definitely legends that have plenty of things to talk about. When the game was a little bit different for both of them at both times in their career, so it'd be very interesting to hear about that. Tyler, what about you? Who would you want to have on Redbirds on the Arch?
Man, I like talking to guys that have great baseball minds. So, it seems like every time Waino is talking, those are very fun stories. And Albert's just a great mind and knows the game so well. Yadi too, but I know he can be a little hard to understand for some of us at times. So maybe not him, even though I want him to be our manager. But I would say Albert or Yadi, but I did want to say one other thing. You're talking about the guy that inspired you while you were playing. So, kind of towards the end of my baseball time in high school, I actually switched to third base, and I idolized this guy. It's Manny Machado.
Oh
And
boy.
that's who I wanted to play third base like, and I was actually pretty good at third base. I was not a very good hitter, if anyone knows me out there, but I was a pretty good defender, and that's who I wanted to play like. So
That's a fun one. Yeah, that look at us. Look at this. Want to pick the baseball mind is what it comes
I was
down to.
pretty upset we didn't sign him in 2019.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted Harper. I wanted Machado, and Harper still would have been nice, but I mean, if we had Machado, then we wouldn't have traded for Arenado, who everybody's just dying to trade away
Right.
right now.
Weird. That hindsight thing is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, either one of them would have been nice, but
Oh yeah, of course.
Machado is just so flashy.
I think
I
it's a
loved
win
it.
regardless of how you look at it, of what we got up and what came back with Arenado. But I'm gonna just drop a question on you guys that I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to answer. And if, Tyler, it's your fault because you mentioned Yadi wanting to be the manager. So I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to tell me if Ollie's the manager and yes or no, and if not, why? So Tyler, because it's your fault that we're doing this, Is Ollie the manager in 2026?
Unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
He
Okay.
probably is. I kind of hope not. Aiden actually had a good conspiracy theory. If you listen to our last podcast we just posted, I think he talked about it. If not, I'll give you a little hint to it. He said that Marmol is on his, it's like this whole thing of Yachty coming in is actually Marmol, just seeing how Yachty is doing. Just watching him and evaluating. He's evaluating Yachty as a manager right now. And that's all this is, because he thinks Marmol is going to go up into the office and Yachty's going to be the next manager.
Okay. All right. We can unpack that at a later episode because I love it. Nate, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Ollie, yes or no?
Yes. The fact that this team has played over its skis for probably 2 years now, as he's really learned how to manage. I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves a lot of the time. He isn't great on, some of the pitching or lineup decisions, but that's true with every manager. If you look at this roster and told me they're 3.5 games out of wild card spot, like that is impressive. And everyone speaks so highly of him. And when he's, doing his local radio spots and interviews, he really seems like he's grown on the job and he's good at what he does. So I think it's going to be him. I don't know if he's going to get his contract renewed when it runs out, but I don't think he's getting let go.
Yeah, and he's coming to the season, as people said, a lame duck manager, but reality is he's under contract for next year. So I know it's new management, but that doesn't make him a lame duck in my eyes. And that's
And Haim has been in the org for long enough that,
sure.
I feel like you'd hear rumors or something, but if there's productive conversations going on, I think it'll at least stick out for next year.
Well, and that I got to be in the Q&A at Blogger Day with Mo, and he talked about how it was good to have Haim there now so he could start that. So it's not somebody coming in October, November, December, meeting people for the first time. He's got an idea of how it's going to work. So either way, I think it's going to be an educated decision. But that's why I also see that in Tyler's case, he could go up to the front office because he is under contract. And then that way they don't get rid of him, but they also have Yachty. That's very interesting. I like that, Tyler.
I was okay with that, but I want Yachty as manager. I don't like Marmol as manager, and I could go into it. I just don't think you have time for it, but maybe on a different episode.
That's when I
But
come on your show.
yeah, we could do it.
All right.
You can have Aiden on here and talk about his conspiracy theory.
Yeah, maybe that'll be the next one. I like that. All right, appreciate that. I got one more that I'm just gonna touch on quickly, but if you guys have anybody that you have had a conversation with, met with, played with, had any type of run in, I'll let you do that. But this one comes from another former guest of the show and colleague over at Redbird Rants, Thomas Galvane. He asked who the best player I played with in college or at Indie Ball was. So I'll do that quick and then pass it over to you guys for if you have any celebrity stories you want to share. So I'll do mine super quick. As far as like the best player I played with, I'm going to use the fact that they were in the MLB as the measure of best. And that would be Dan Johnson, formerly of the A's. I played him when he was in St. Paul. He hit about a 470-foot foul home run on what I thought was a changeup. And then I got him looking on the next pitch. So that was a lot of fun. So I can say that I struck out a former major leaguer there. And then quickly with other people that I played with, Lake Bacher, who's currently with the Marlins. We were in college together, and I graduated and then stayed on as a pitching coach for a semester, and that's when he decided that he was going to stop being a college kicker and try to get back into baseball. So I got to work with him as he was working into that, and then he turned into a fifth round pick from the Padres. So that was pretty cool. Also went to college with Caleb Bushley. He was in our conference, and then I played independent ball with Jared Koenig, who's I think he's back with Milwaukee now. But then I want to give special shout outs, and then I'll let you guys go to Stacy Piagno and Kelsey Whitmore. Stacy and Kelsey, I played with in Sonoma, California when we were at the Stompers, and they were two women professional baseball players on our team. And Stacy set was had a historical pitching performance. She threw seven shutout innings to become the first female to get a win in a professional game in like 50 years. And then now we're hearing Kelsey Whitmore with the Savannah Bananas doing all the pushing with the women's sports things. And that was something that was just super, super fun that I got to kind of witness the start of that and just see them in the clubhouse and do that kind of thing was super fun.
That's awesome. That's really neat.
That was one of the coolest, like that whole time in Sonoma was one of the best experiences I had. And just being with that was so cool. And then seeing what that turned into was awesome. And then I'll give one more shout out to Javier Herrera. He knows he has no idea who I am. But in my last professional start, I went seven innings, gave up three hits, and they were all three solo home runs to Javier Herrera. So shout out to him who also took down the scoreboard with that last one. He hit that one pretty darn hard. So that was a fun one. So before we say goodbye, I'll pass it over to either one of you if you got a good celeb story you want to jump on with.
Yeah, so I have two. I didn't make it past high school. Stupid mechanics and elbow problems. But I did strike out Caleb Durbin, which is
Oh,
pretty
go ahead.
cool to see the whatever the great rides he's made and contributions he's making with the Brewers. And then I also worked out at the same place that Ryan Borucki, who's been a reliever with a bunch of teams, I think back with the Pirates or Blue Jays. That
Nate,
he's.
are you from the Chicago area?
Yes, I am.
Did you go to Slammers
Yes.
with Jim Sakis? That's where I went too.
No way.
Tyler, you are witnessing something crazy here. Yeah, I worked out with Jim Simpson for about 5 years at Slammers. And yeah, wow.
I'll have to chat after this ends. That's crazy.
Yeah, we'll have this conversation. That's wild. Okay. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off there, but
No,
that's
don't do that
very
too. That's unbelievable.
wow.
Oh,
Okay.
well.
Tyler, your turn. Follow that up.
I don't think I can. But I didn't play for the Slammers, and I've never struck out a Major League Baseball player either. So,
Well, you said you had a special guest at your house the other day. Who was that?
oh, not the other day. When I was
Oh.
young, I had
Oh.
I almost said Paul Walker, Lucas Black at my house before. And if you don't know who Lucas Black is, he's from Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. So he's from my area and he's been in my house, but
Okay.
other than that, I mean, I've met John Jay before because I hunt with his one of his high school buddies.
Okay.
His high school buddy got us on the field, so I got to meet John Jay. This was obviously years ago. I got his signature and Johnny Peralta's on the
Oh.
same baseball for some reason. I should have got him on different baseballs, but I was
Yeah.
young and dumb, so
That's one of one right there.
yeah, I'll sell it to anybody.
All right, you
No good Johnny Peralta guy.
I'll make sure to clip this and post that to get all the hits on that Johnny Peralta and John Jay autograph.
You know what? No way. It's John Jay and I think John Mabry's on it. I think I skipped Johnny Peralta.
Oh boy. All
Maybe.
right,
I don't know. Too many
that might be a
Johns.
tougher sell.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, I think that's a good spot to say we have officially concluded another episode. I want to thank Nate and Tyler for being on tonight. But before I say goodbye and sign off, I want to let them jump on and let us know where we can find them. So, Nate, go ahead, let everyone know where they can find you and read your stuff and see your work.
Yeah, so you can find me at pitcherlist.com. I'm writing about kind of all things baseball related, mostly pitching, but generally kind of all baseball stuff, writing on a weekly cadence, and then mostly yelling about Cardinals thoughts on Twitter at underscore Nate Schwartz. And yeah, those are the main places you can find me.
All right, Tyler, what about you?
Well, I do Redbirds on the Arch, which is a podcast. We do it on Spotify. I don't think we're on YouTube yet, but we're working on it. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Zumwalt underscore Tyler. I mostly tweet sports stuff, and I'll interact a little bit. I'm in, if you know Mac on Cardinals Twitter, I'm in his little community. I'll talk in there, but I try to keep it mostly sports. It's been a little political today, so don't look at my Twitter stuff today. After some unfortunate events, we won't get into that. But I usually just talk sports. It's usually Cardinals, a little bit of football. I like football. I'm a big Burrow fan, so
Okay.
that's my team right now. I was a Peyton Manning guy. I've been a Burrow guy recently. I get called a homer when the Bengals are good, but not when they're bad, so.
Yeah, that's how bandwagons typically tend to work there. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's good to have
Even though I.
football back.
Yeah.
All right,
Also the
well,
Blues.
oh, and go, let's go Blues.
Yep.
All right, and with that, I want to take this time to thank again Nate and Tyler for jumping on. I'm Scott Plaza, and this was another episode of Cardinals on My Time. Thank you for joining, and as always, go Birds.